Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Redeemer Bible Church. We're so glad that you are here this morning, either live or if you are looking in this morning by virtue of internet. We're glad to see you. Boy, really a good crowd given it's so cold this morning, right? Do you like the cold weather?
No.
Oh, come on, man. Where's your inner child? I mean, we're supposed to get some snow and stuff this morning. I know you folks from the north and northeast, you're tired of that stuff. But here in Texas, we just don't see it very often. Now, we don't know how to drive on it, but we sure know how to roll around in it. So if we get some tonight, how many of you, if you get snow, I know, you go, I don't want to get sick, but how many of you will promise if we get several inches that you will go out and do a snow angel? In that snow. There we go. And maybe for the carnal in our amongst us here, maybe you could just do a snowman. How about that? Would you be willing to do that? All right. Good, good. Well, it is good to see you. And Forrest, they're going to have a greeting. But, you know, I want to see that smile on your face. If you would. Now, we're not talking about getting up and greeting. You're going to do that later. But I just want you to look around at the people that you know, the people that you love. Look at them, if you would. And I'd like you to recite to them an ancient Christian greeting that is little known, okay? And I'd like you to turn to them and say, I love you in the Lord, even though you look and smell funny. Now, I think that came from like Athanasius or one of those other Christians who had a funny name way back there. I don't know. Okay, maybe I just made that up. But nonetheless, it is good to see you this morning. If you have your announcements, let me just give you a quick one there. And then I want to talk to you about the Connect card again. The church office will be closed tomorrow. So don't come up here. If you're going to do your snow angel, do it at home. There'll be nobody here tomorrow. And in a few weeks, as we mentioned last week, we'll be doing some preaching at the end of this month and the following week on what the new small groups, Good News Communities, will be about. And you'll have opportunity to sign up about them. We'll answer your questions and such. That's coming. There's no sign-ups today, but just want you to keep that in mind. Get ready for that. Hope that you'll be ready to get involved in that when that comes around and that gets rolled out. But in the meantime, if you, particularly if you're a guest this morning, or even if you are a regular and you would like to update your information here at the church, you'll look around you there in the pews. There's a little Connect card. And by the way, Don Regeer did the designing of this, and I asked Don to do it. I appreciate him doing it. Couldn't have done it without him. So he did it, and if you don't like it, then you complain to Don, okay? But it's going to functionally do great. And on this little card, though, you can look at it and see a place for your name. You can put down here, if you are a guest in particular, it's got a place for your age. You know, if you're 60 and you're in denial and you want to say 20, go ahead and mark that. That's okay. But just you'll see the information on both sides. But in particular, if you want to update information, you can fill this out. You can drop it off at the desk there at the back when you leave. If you are a guest here today for the first time, we have a little gift we'd like to give you if you'll just fill this out and turn that in. But also, if you have a prayer need or request that you would like to place, you can put that there as well. And once again, they will be passed on to Pastor Forrest, and there will be prayers offered in support of whatever that prayer need is. Okay? Good to see you this morning. When you leave today, stay warm. Let's go to the Lord as we prepare to continue to worship this morning. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father, we come this morning absolutely, completely dependent upon you. Lord, we ask you today to invade our lives once again. Remind us of your presence. Give us your power. Let us sense your peace. Lord, help us today to worship you well. Lord, we have nothing that you don't give. We are nothing without you. Forgive us this past week where we have not been as mindful, supportive, or as obedient as we should be to you. Lord, we ask you today to help Pastor Forrest as he presents your word. It is your inerrant truth that challenges and changes the heart. So this morning, Lord, speak to us through it. Enable us to speak to you and praise you with all our heart, all our mind, with all our souls, with all our strength. We pray that we will give honor and glory to you, our matchless King. And we can do this because Jesus Christ, our Lord, rose from the dead to pay a sin debt we could not repay, to express a love to us that we will never be able to repay back. But Lord, we ask you today to help us in some small way to do that as we praise you and we hear from you once again. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our King, our friend. In his name we pray. And all of God's people said together, amen.
Good morning. We're going to start worship. Y'all want to stand up? I don't know if anybody else goes through this, but I heard on the radio as I was going out to the car, turning it on for at least 30 minutes for it to get warm. I listened to Air One, and they're like, hey, some of you that are probably listening, you're headed to church. Which is really cool for me because I was about to head to church. But they're like, that's half the battle. And I remember as a kid, there was so many times when just getting out the door was tough. It's like getting to church was the hard part. And I think they were right. So thanks for showing up. Thanks, Pastor Forrest, for having me back. I'm back. If you didn't notice, I was here 2 weeks ago. My name is Sean. If you don't know Jax, this is Jax, and this is Chris. I think y'all know them better than me. So thanks for showing up. I think it's great that we have the choice to be here. And you decided to be here. You decided to wake up, to change your routine, to not sleep in. And I just want to encourage you with this next song. It's called Stand in Your Love. And it's about nothing holding you down. So if you're going through something tough, if the year has already started kicking you in the hindside and it's not as easy as you want it to be, this should be encouraging.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. Sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. She no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. Not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in
power.
There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name.
Sing that again. There's power.
There's power that can break.
All right, if I could get you to head back to your places, not seats per se, but your places. I want to do some scripture reading for us this morning. This morning, it was supposed to be Abby Bush was going to be here, and she was going to read scripture. She would do a far better job than I, but the cold was just a little too much for her, so I'm her sub today. Psalm 86, verses 1 to 7, says, "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I am in trouble, and you will answer me."
Spirit of God, breathe on your church.
Today's a hard day. Sometimes it's hard to get through the songs. And I want y'all to know that He is everything you need. If you're going through something hard, some questions, He's your daily bread. You can take that figuratively or physically, hopefully figuratively, in the sense that we have to eat every single day to survive. We need Him every single day to get through what we're going through, to get through the hard times, to celebrate.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And I'm desperate for You.
Daily bread.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
And I.
When the music fades, the doll is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. Is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
Coming back.
I'm coming.
Praise.
God, I'll bring you more than a song, more than a song.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity just to be here to worship. We thank you for being our daily bread, Father. That we can always look to you. Father, with so little that we bring, thank you for still just maintaining your love for us. Thank you for working in our hearts today, Father. That we can be renewed, refreshed, restored, challenged, changed. Thank you for the message we're about to hear, Father God. I ask you to open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, that we can receive it, plant it, and take it out in this place to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, good morning, church. There's a program that Lisa and I have been watching called Gold Rush. It's on Discovery Channel, and it's following three mining operations in the Alaskan Klondike, and just kind of it's a reality show showing all the different things that they're doing and all the failures and all the problems and mechanical problems and all. And it's interesting. It's a very well done program. It's fun to watch. It's kind of interesting. One of the mine bosses, his name is Rick Ness, and this season Rick Ness has returned to the Klondike to start doing some mining again. See, about 2 years ago, his mom passed away, and through some poor choices on his part, but also because of the situation, he went into this huge depression. And so last season, he just didn't show up. So all of his mining equipment sat unused for a whole season. Bank wasn't making payments on his machinery, so the bank came and took his machinery away from him. And he kind of burned some bridges, if you will, so to speak, with a lot of people in the mining area. And so this season he comes back. And so the story up to this point, as we've watched the season, the story up to this point is, how does he return to mining? How does Rick do that? How does he return to the Klondike? How does he patch up relationships? How does he get more machinery? How does he get his old machinery running? And that's the drama of what's happened. And it's an interesting story. Rick is a likable character. He's not a believer by any stretch of the imagination, at least from what you can see on the show. But it is kind of a really interesting story of how someone returns to something that they had walked away from. And the reality is that a lot of people in America right now, our neighbors, our friends, the people that we see in stores and see in restaurants and different places that we go, a lot of those people are in a situation where they need to return back, or some of them turn to the Lord and really come into a place where they've lived their lives and they've done all the stuff that they're doing, and they're like, this isn't working anymore. I need to get back to, or I need to go to, into an intimate relationship with the Lord. And for some of those people, the Lord is working in the circumstances of their life, trying to encourage them to do that. And so they're at a place in their life where they need to return. They need to turn to the Lord. Much like Rick in the Gold Rush series, they need to return to something, but how do they do that? Like how do you go back? And what this TV program has done is it's demonstrated how a person returns to mining. But for these people, the people that we know and the people that we experience, they need to return to the Lord. They need to go to the Lord. And how do they do that? How does a person who has lived their own life, done whatever they've wanted to do all of their life, and it's all not working, and they come to the realization, I need God. How do they go from that to being in a relationship with Him? How does someone who has, maybe as a child or as a teenager, they became a believer, they entered into this relationship with God, but then when they get to college and maybe the early part of their married lives, they've wandered away for whatever reason. And now they're, which is pretty common today, they're starting to think about having kids, and they're like, oh man, I need to get back to church. And so how do they do that? They're estranged from God. And maybe even for some of you here, you've been going to church for a long time, but recently things have not gone according to plan. And you've maybe shaken your fist at the Lord. Said, this isn't right. I don't like you anymore. Maybe you're there. I hope you don't stay there. Come on back. But if you are, how do you turn back to the Lord? How do you do that? Now, for me, it's hard. I had to really spend some time this week to think about what that would be like for someone, because that's not my reality, you know. But for someone who's been distant from the Lord, how do they turn back to Him? And this morning, we're going to look at a couple of verses from the book of Joel. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Joel. And we're going to talk about how does a person turn to the Lord? How do they walk away from what they've been doing? And how do they turn to be in an intimate relationship with the Lord? And so we're going to be in the book of Joel. We're going to talk about that. And last week, we talked about how the Lord, for these specific Israelites, allowed a locust plague to infect their town, their country. And He did that because He wanted to allow them to have some temporary difficulties to get them to make some changes that they needed to make in their lives. And so the verses that we're going to look at today is in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And this is where God comes on the scene and He communicates through Joel and He says, okay, this is how you return to Me. This is how you turn back to Me. And so we're going to look at how does the Lord say that these people can return to Him, and then what can we learn in our own time? How can we learn about what it takes for us in order to turn back to the Lord? And one of the things that I hope that you're getting the sense of, as we've talked about, as we've started this series, and even ever since I've been here, is one of the things that I've really tried to emphasize is that the Lord wants an intimate relationship with you. Now, I've met a lot of y'all, and I'll be honest with you. I don't know why He wants an intimate relationship with you, because you're not that great. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that great either. None of us are that great. We're not. But for some reason, He does. He wants an intimate relationship, not this show of, yeah, I'm a believer. I live in Dallas. I'm a Christian like everybody else. No, He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. He wants that. And for many of you, He's been chasing you the past few weeks, past few months, whatever. He's like, hey, I want in. Let me into your life. And I hope that you're hearing this morning what God says through the prophet Joel to His people about how to turn back to the Lord. We look at verse 12. The first thing that we're going to see is that we can turn to God through heart transferring. We can turn to God by heart transferring. And what Joel is going to talk about to these people is that you guys have been going through a locust plague. And then what you can do to change that is to turn back to God, but you do it by transferring your heart. Transferring your heart. Look with me at verse 12. It says, that is why the Lord says, turn to Me now while there is time. Give Me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. That is why the Lord says. And so why that is, that phrase is in there is because it's transitioning. The part that had been going on before was Joel was describing this horrific locust plague that had been going on. He was talking to the people of Israel about that. And now he says, here's a message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. He says, I, Joel, am not talking here. This is the Lord talking to you.
Could you try again?
No, I think I got it right the first time. Okay. So he says, that is what the Lord, that is why the Lord says, turn to me now. And if you picture the way that Joel is talking about this, he's saying, these are the words of the Lord, and the Lord is if you could imagine them hearing this, that Jesus, that God is there, and he's saying, hey, turn to me now. It uses the analogy, uses the metaphor of a walking metaphor. And it says, you've been walking this way, stop walking that way, turn to me now. He says, while there is time, communicating the urgency of this. Communicating, hey, let's do this right now. Don't wait, don't put this off. Not in the sense of saying that you can't do it at another time, but he's saying, this is the perfect time to turn to me. And then he goes on to say, give me your hearts. The translation I'm reading says, give me your heart. Most of the other translations will interpret that with all of your heart. Either way, the Lord is saying, hey, stop going the way that you're going. Return to me with all of your heart. Which is a huge, huge clarification here. And he says, come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. He says, return to me, give me your heart, and express that by fasting. Now, fasting is something that we have a little bit of an association with, but in the context of this time period, what would happen is that the Israelites would fast. They would take a fast. They would fast often, usually from food, but sometimes they would fast from food and water. Whatever they would do some kind of a fasting, but it was a sense of repentance. They would deny that element of what they were doing, whether it was food or water. They would quit taking that. They would fast from that, and they would say, Lord, I'm serious about doing this. I want to come back into a right relationship with you. I want to repent of the way I've been living my life. I seriously want to do that. And why fasting is such an important thing here is that fasting is not something that we just want to do. You know, I got up this morning, it was cold out, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fast today. It's not something fun to do. It's not something we enjoy doing. If you're going to fast, it's got to be something you really want to do, that you're motivated to do. It's not something you just do. And so God says, give me your heart with fasting, doing something difficult that you wouldn't normally do, to express your repentance, and you don't want to live that way anymore. Then he goes on to say, with weeping, it's the idea of crying. Now, for most people, we can't cry on command, or some actors and actresses who can, but most of us, we don't. It's a very involuntary, it's an involuntary action. But when we cry, it's usually because there's some kind of internal emotional dynamic that's causing us to cry. And the Lord says, return to me with crying. And he's not saying fake it. He's saying allow yourself to have that emotional response to the way you've been living so that you're looking at what you've done and you're weeping over it. And then the last part of it, he says, and with mourning. Mourning is not something here in our culture, our American culture, that we do much, but often overseas it's a bigger deal, and it usually happens at funerals. And mourning is just like a wailing. It's usually just a really loud, obnoxious, just cry out. And the Lord says to these people, return to me with fasting, with crying, with weeping, with mourning. And the point that the Lord is making here is he's saying, I want you to transfer your heart to me. Don't be so concerned about what other people think about you. Don't be so concerned about whether you're embarrassed because you're crying or you're, don't be so concerned about that. Be so concerned about the repentance that you're doing that you're only focused on me. Give me your heart. And that's the first thing that the Lord really is calling them to do, is say, hey, transfer your heart to me. Give me your heart. And why that's so significant is because it's very often easy for us to say, oh yeah, I'm sorry for what I did. It's not really true, genuine repentance. Genuine repentance involves an emotional aspect to it. Rick Ness is now, as we're following along in the series, he's been in the Klondike for a number of weeks now. And on camera, he said many times that he is all in. He wants to return to mining. Like, he's for sure, this is what he wants to do. But it's believable when you see it on TV. It's believable. Because you see the way that he conducts himself. When a machine breaks, which happens a lot for him, when a machine breaks, he goes into all-out panic mode and he gets out there and he fixes it. When someone steals one of his pieces of equipment, he gets on the phone and he starts calling around trying to figure it out. He is wholeheartedly all in trying to get back into mining. In a similar way, what the Lord is communicating through the prophet Joel is, hey, turn to me, but do it wholeheartedly. Put your heart all the way into it. Give me all of it. Don't do this half in, half out thing. All in. And I think the challenge for us is, if you are here this morning and you are trying to figure out, how do I get back with the Lord? A great thing to do is to look at the things that are right here in verse 12. Maybe spend some time in fasting. Maybe spend some time in crying. Maybe spend some time in mourning. And the great thing about this suggestion here is that it gives us permission to be a little emotional about our return to the Lord. But there's also a little side benefit. And the side benefit is this. If you're not willing to come back to the Lord, and if you're not willing to fast, or you're not willing to cry, or you're not willing to weep, why? It's a heart check. And the beauty of what the Lord tells these people to do is say, hey, do it this way, and this way. And if a person comes to the end and says, I'm not really that sorry about it, I don't know if I want to go into that, maybe you need to look at that. So not only it's great because it gives everybody permission to cry or to mourn or to fast. It gives them permission to be emotional about it, but it also gives them a chance that if you're not willing to do that, why? Big question mark. Person needs to ask for themselves. So how do we turn to the Lord? How do we do that? The first thing is to transfer your heart. That's the first thing. But in the next verse that we look at, it's to tear your heart. It's to tear your heart. And back in this time, a person could show grief. It was culturally acceptable to show grief if they had lost a loved one or if something had happened to them. They wanted to show grief. They would tear their clothes. And they would tear their clothes in a very public way. And so when you'd see someone walking through the streets and they had their clothes all torn, it's like, oh, one of two things happened. Either the dude just got beat up or he's in grief. And so in verse 13, it says, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. It's not saying don't ever tear your clothes in grief. He wasn't culturally saying don't ever do that. The thing was, is it's more important to grieve with an internal grief than it is to have an external show of the grief that you're expressing. It's more important to have an internal grief, to really truly grieve internally, instead of it to be a show for other people to see. And why that's often so critical is because we're just not sure how the Lord is going to respond. And so Joel goes on to describe the Lord this way in verse 12. He says, "Return to the Lord your God, for he's merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish." Because oftentimes when a person is in that spot where they have done their own thing for so long, and they know they need to make a change, they know they need to live differently, they need to go back into a relationship with the Lord, they know they need to do that, but they're just not sure, how is the Lord going to respond? How is the Lord going to receive them? They've been off wandering around for a while. How's he going to respond? And the Lord in his infinite wisdom told Joel to tell these people, this is how the Lord will respond. Return to the Lord your God, for he's merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. One of these episodes, Rick had to go and he had to talk to the man who owned the property that he was leasing. And you may not know this, but most of the people in the Klondike that are mining, they don't own the property. They pay the landowner a certain amount of money to mine it. They give them a part of the proceeds of the gold that they mine. Well, this Rick's particular landowner was out a lot of money last season because Rick didn't show up. And so the cameramen are watching as Rick is making his way up to this guy's house. And he's freaking out because he doesn't know how the guy's going to react. He doesn't know if the guy's going to give him permission to mine again this year. He doesn't know what he's going to say about the fact that he probably lost hundreds of thousands of dollars last year. I don't know how much he lost. He didn't know. And so he's going to the door and he's very, like, anxious. And as the episode goes on, you see how the landowner is very gracious to him. Probably more gracious than you and I would have been. But he's very gracious to him. And for people who are in that spot, and maybe it's you who have that inclination, I need to return to the Lord, but there's that nervousness, like, how is the Lord going to respond? How is the Lord going to see me? How is he going to react to what I've done and what I'm doing? And Joel tells them very clearly, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he's merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He's eager to relent and not punish. The last thing that we see is in verse 14. And this is the tough one to do. This is the tough one to do. It says, we got to return to the Lord by timing our heart. This is difficult because our hearts have this sense of expectation that if we just repent, everything will be okay. But look at verse 14. He says, who knows? This is Joel talking again. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you'll be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. But it's interesting because Joel doesn't say, if you repent, for sure, 100%, the locusts are going away. He doesn't say that. He said, who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve from the locusts. Maybe he'll send you a blessing instead of this curse. Maybe he'll cause rain to come down and cause your crops to grow. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. And this is why this is so hard for us to understand. Because of course, the Lord would want to bless us with new grain and wine so we could worship him. Of course he would want that, right? If I'll just repent, of course the Lord's going to want to bless me so that I can worship him. And Joel's point is very clear here. maybe or maybe not. You see, when you and I have our little excursions and we run around doing whatever we do, and we decide to come back to the Lord is not obligated to take a big giant eraser and erase all of the effects of the sins that we've done in our lives. He will forgive us, no doubt. But he's also not obligated to make everything go better after that. It's not his obligation. At some point, if you enter into a right relationship with the Lord and you pass away and you die, he will bring you into eternal bliss with him forever, and that will be wonderful. But here on earth, the effects of your sin are not necessarily going to be erased if you just say, hey, God, I'm sorry. Not necessarily. And that's Joel's point. In Rick's situation, he's approaching this year very, very carefully. He had to sell his deceased mom's house just to even make it back up to Alaska. And when he got there, he bought some equipment and he started mining. But the reality is, even when Rick had everything going for him, sometimes his seasons were good and sometimes they were bad. One season in particular, he made about $3 million. A couple of other seasons, he lost money. And Rick is coming back into this season with no guarantees. No guarantees that he'll make it. There's no guarantees. But what that does is it helps him to understand that he's doing it for the right reasons. And unfortunately, what happens for us is sometimes we want to get back right with the Lord. We want to get right into a relationship with the Lord. Why? Because we want to save our own skin. Okay, well, things are just not going great right now. Okay, I'll try to get back with the Lord. That's not what the Lord wants. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Not because you want stuff to start going better. And so Joel said here, it doesn't necessarily mean that the locust plague is going to go away. Maybe he will, but maybe he won't. Because ultimately the locust plague and all the events that are going on in your life and all of the feelings that you're feeling and all the emotions that you're feeling and all the circumstances that are going on in your life are to point you to a place where you understand the Lord wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He doesn't want you to do it because then you'll have fancy cars and fancy houses and lots of money in the bank. He wants you to do it because you want to have an intimate relationship with him. And so he's never promised that all will go well. So how do we turn to the Lord? How does a person who's been away from the Lord, how do they turn back to the Lord? First thing you have to do is you have to a heart transfer. You have to give him your heart, like wholeheartedly say, God, I want things to be different. Not with reservations. I'm not holding back. I'm not saying, hey, we're not going to give you this, but you can take all of this. No, give him your whole heart. And a heart tearing. Understand that you are not giving him something or just not going through the motions. But he will love you and take you back if you're wholeheartedly coming to him. And the third and the last thing is just understanding the timing. That the Lord may take away some of the negative circumstances that you're going through right now that makes you want to turn back to him, but he may not. But the important thing is that you are walking in an intimate relationship with the Lord. That is his priority. Bow with me, if you would, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. Thank you for the opportunity to sing songs of worship and to be warm as we're bracing against the elements outside. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who is struggling with having an intimate relationship with you, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage to do that, knowing full well that if they return to you, you will welcome them with open arms. I pray that their sincerity would come to the surface and they would speak candidly with you. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. At the end of the service each week, we celebrate communion. We call it the Lord's table, Lord's Supper sometimes. And so if you didn't grab one of these disposable cups on your way in, if you just raise your hand, we have some gentlemen in the back who'd be ready to give those to you. What we do at this time, if you're not familiar with what we do at this time, is we take an opportunity to remember what Christ did on the cross for us to make it possible that we could even have an intimate relationship with the Lord. To make that even a possible thing. The Lord has communicated in many different places throughout the scriptures that our sin, the sins that we so love to do, cause tension, cause a disruption, cause a barrier between us and the Lord. And while He may love us, and while He may want to have an intimate relationship with us, our sin is in the way. And what Christ did on the cross was He allowed Himself to be crucified, beaten, and killed so that He could offer that forgiveness to us free of charge. So for those of us who are here this morning and we have that relationship with the Lord, it's only because of what Christ did. And so this Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us to remember that. It's an opportunity for us to reflect back on that time. And in a way, again, also to say, thank you, Lord, for what Jesus did for me. If you'd reveal the top part, take out the white wafer. In the book of Corinthians, we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself." This is Paul speaking. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
Okay, several things. One is, I just appreciate Sean coming at very late notice and coming to us, so thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Alex had some personal things he needed to take care of this week, and so Sean, in a very short time period, was able to come and to help us out. I appreciate that very, very much. If you need someone to talk to, please call me later this week. Well, Pastor Forrest. You always tell people to come up front. Not today. Well, if you need to, I'll stick around. It'll be fine. Snow is on its way. Within the next 30 or 40 minutes, according to some forecasts, we have snow coming. So go home, all of you. Get home safely. See you next week.